Welcome back, everyone. We're glad that you're listening today. It's so nice to know that there's so many people all over the world listening to Advance. Isn't that nice, Joan?
It's wonderful. And to be able to learn together. Mm-hmm. I think yesterday, Jack and I we learned so much about scuba diving. And it reminds me that when we do Advance, not only are we learning new words, but we're also encountering new ideas.
And that's the great thing about Advance. It's a lifetime learning thing. You know, there's people in their 90s in rest homes in New York that listen in every day. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. All over the world, they enjoy Advance. And so we are learning with you as we talk about these things, aren't we, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jack is our new teacher. He hasn't been here very long. But Jack, don't you think we can learn a lot in Advance?
Absolutely. I've learned so much already.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jack will probably be working in Let's Talk and other ones, but sometimes he can visit Advance. What about that?
I'd love to.
Good. You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
And, of course, you and Joe will have to learn scuba diving sometime. How about that? Are you sold on the idea?
I'm totally sold from the discussion yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I want to see a sea turtle.
Yeah, well, scuba diving is really fun. And you have to have lessons, but it's like anything you learn. You need lessons. But it's one of the safest sports in the world because they teach you how to do it, and if you do the rules, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Well, let's find out what we did yesterday. We talked about, on page 20, about not just regular people scuba diving, but what kind of people?
We talked about people who they've experienced paralysis. Their body is unable to move, perhaps all four limbs, or maybe just from the waist down. And even though they have that issue, they can still go scuba diving, and that there are some classes that they can take.
Now, that's really amazing to think about people. You think maybe they can't swim, they might drown, but they can put on the scuba gear, and you have, your air and everything there, and you float, and there you are in the water, and then all of a sudden they can move. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Right, and just I think, again, the word that comes to mind is miraculous, mm-hmm. that you can do this sort of activity.
So I'm glad that they have this plan. Don't you think so?
Absolutely, yeah. It gives them a chance to explore and live life again and, as we saw, improve the quality of their life.
Now, we found out yesterday that a lot of times when people are paralyzed, it has to do with their spine. So you have to be very careful with your back because anything to do with your spine can actually cause you to be paralyzed.
That's right. And so we saw two different examples, from the young girl, 12 years old, experienced a spinal stroke. And then we had a sidebar with a man who was 47, who had just fallen from a tree mm-hmm. and then had a severe spinal injury and lost movement.
Right. You can get spinal injuries from a lot of different things, but once you get them, it's very hard to get over them, and you can become paralyzed, and that really sounds just terrible. But just think of this. Now they can go in the water and feel free. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it was started by this woman, Cody Unser, who started this foundation to help other people who are also paralyzed experience.
Why did she do that?
Because she herself was paralyzed, and
that's
this is
right.
something that she was able to experience.
That's wonderful, isn't it? That's good. So there's equipment. You have to have wetsuits, and you have to have certain things, but it's really not very much. You have to have some air on your back. Actually, they have some new things now where you can have the air in a little thing that floats on the water, and you don't have to carry it on your back. That's brand new.
Really?
That's the update on it.
Wow.
Okay? But let's look at page 21 now and see what we're going to talk about today. What do you think?
I'm really excited, and today we're going to go more into the story of how people learn to move again in the water.
Okay, so let's do the reading through line 15.
Tylina's father, Dennis Fisher, slipped into the pool and helped instructor Bill Monsom lower his daughter into the water. She lay back, rested her head on the surface, and for a few brief moments, closed her eyes. Then she did something that made occupational therapist Caitlin McDonald smile. Tylina, she said, look at your leg. Ever so slightly, Tylina was moving her right leg. It was no more than a few inches, but still, Tylina's mind was telling her leg what to do, and her leg was responding. A lot of times, We'll see movement first in the water, McDonald said. It means a capacity is there that we can build on, but it's still weak.
Okay, now you'll notice that her father moved into the pool with her, and that would probably make her feel good. Her dad's there, don't you think?
Absolutely. Very reassuring.
Uh-huh. And helped the instructor, and his name is Bill Monsum, and they lowered their daughter into the water, and then she lay back and rested her head on the surface. Now, that's one thing. If you ever want to swim or float, you have to relax in the water. If you're very tight and tense, you'll just go right down in the water. So she just kind of rested her head on the surface of the water for a moment and closed her eyes and relaxed. If you're going to float, you have to do that. Have you ever floated in the water?
Oh, yes, many times.
And you have to relax, don't you?
Absolutely.
If you're not relaxed, you just go, you just kind of breathe easy, and float is fun.
Yeah, you have to control your breathing and relax at the same time.
Right?
It's kind of an odd combination, but it does feel great.
That's true. Well, then she did something else. Now, this person, Caitlin McDonald, was the occupational therapist for the group. What is an occupational therapist?
Right. So you see the word occupational. You might think of occupation like a job. But actually, an occupational therapist is anyone who uses creative or active types of therapy to encourage and build up disabled people. So oftentimes we think of therapy happening just in a hospital. Maybe you're learning on a walker. An occupational therapist will try to find unique activities that both build your muscles and inspire.
Well, in fact, in the hospital, they have them too, you know, working there. And let's say you've hurt your foot, so they'll have to just show you how to start using it again. Any part of your limb that has been injured, they help you get the use of it again. And that's very important.
And that's exactly what we see here in the article, that Tylina, for the first time, she has just gotten into the pool, and the occupational therapist, Caitlin McDonald, points out, Tylina, look at your leg. Hmm. She's starting to move it ever so slightly.
Right. She says, now look at your leg, see? And then very slightly, she started moving it in the water. And it's probably easier for her to move it in the water than it would be if she wasn't in the water, because the water gives you what we call buoyancy. It holds it up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So that's really great.
Right. And this kind of goes back to what we were talking about yesterday with John McVeigh, where normally he feels so weighed down, but in the water, he doesn't have as much pressure, and so he can kind of slowly and little by little move his limbs, which is what Tylina is also experiencing.
Well, and you know, when you're in the water, when you're floating, the water is actually holding you up. But she's telling her leg what to do. Now, if she tells her leg what to do and she's not in the water, her leg doesn't do anything. But the water's holding it up. So she says, okay, leg, I want you to move. And it moves a little bit. So the water's helping her.
Right. And I think this line here that, you know, Tylina's mind was telling her leg what to do, and her leg was responding. You know, because people who are paralyzed, your mind is still sending signals to
right.
the limb, but the limb can't respond back with a proper movement.
Because it doesn't have enough help, so the water is giving it the help that it needs to give you a little bit of help with it, and then that encourages it to do more.
Right, and here, you know, this is just a little bit of movement because Tylina, of course, is just starting the occupational therapy. And so it says it was no more than a few inches. But even if it's just a few, you can kind of think about the hope and surprise maybe Tylina is experiencing.
Well, and don't you think the fact that she moved it a little bit is going to help strengthen some kind of muscles? There must be a little bit down there. So if you keep doing it, it's going to build it up. And pretty soon, maybe she'll be able to feel it when she's not in the water.
That's right. That's the goal of the therapy, isn't it?
That's exciting.
Over time, they will be able to regain movement.
Right. It's something they can build on. It's weak, but it's helping.
That's right. So McDonald notes that a lot of times when people get into that pool for the very first time, you'll see a little bit of that movement. And according to her, it means that there's still a capacity that they can build on, which is what they're really looking for. If there's at least some movement, you have hope of building up those muscles again.
That's true. Well, now we wonder how they started thinking of this, because remember this Cody Unser, she was only 12 when that happened, and how come she got started doing that? Let's find out when we read the next two paragraphs.
That's right. So we will be doing our next reading from line 15 down to line 30.
Doing research. Cody Unser first became interested in scuba diving as a possible therapy after her brother persuaded her to give it a try. In 2002, she was about 100 feet underwater when she noticed a pinprick tingling in her legs, the first sensation she'd felt in those limbs in 3 years. That was so intriguing that in 2011, Sadowski conducted a pilot study of 10 patients to see whether scuba diving helped them too. Many showed temporary improvement in such areas as spasticity or stiffness and sensitivity to light touches, and the upturn continued for several days. Sadowski thinks this might be a result of the increased pressure people experience while deep underwater, resulting in an influx of nitrogen into their blood and body tissues.
So now we're going to do a little research and see how this all started.
That's right. So our next section, we start to really dig into who is Cody Unser and how did she get started inspiring people to do scuba lessons?
How did she?
Well, she became interested in scuba diving as a therapy after her brother was the one who persuaded her to try it. It was in 2002, mm-hmm. and she was about 100 feet underwater. That's pretty deep. When she started to notice a pinprick tingling in her legs.
Pinprick tingling, that's interesting.
That's kind of a fun term. So if you think pinprick, you know, we think of a pin that kind of small, like needle.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels like you have lots of little needles on your legs, which is where we get that tingling term, to have feeling as if a lot of sharp points are being put quickly and lightly into your body. So this isn't a sharp, kind of pain.
Tingling.
Just light.
But it's the first time she's felt anything in her limbs, her legs, for the last 3 years. She hadn't felt anything, and she was in the water, and she felt it. How exciting.
Right. It's amazing that, you know, she's able to get into the water on her brother's advice and try it out. But she was also very deep underwater, 100 feet.
I don't know what she was doing way down there. Maybe she's been trying to snorkel or something. I don't know.
Right. And actually, this experience inspired her to create her own foundation. So yesterday we were talking about the Cody Unser First Step Foundation. She actually founded that at 13 years old.
Well, probably her family helped do
right.
it. But I mean, she encouraged them to do it. They just did it in her name.
Right. But
I don't think she did it all herself, but they used her name.
Right. She was a major face. And actually, from that time, she would go around and start to give talks. And so you're right, of course, the family is helping push that along, but she was quite the face of that for a long time, and it's inspiring to see a young person want to do so much.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently this result that Cody experienced in the water also stuck in the mind for the clinical director at the Kennedy Krager Institute.
At John Hopkins there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That Sadowski then was curious about whether this could be a really a turning point for many
right.
people experiencing
paralysis. In fact, they started out with a pilot study.
Right. And so in 2011, Sadowski conducted that pilot study, which is just a small-scale study to try it out.
It's a trial.
You know, will it work? And if we see good positive signs, we'll do a larger scale study later.
Yeah, everything starts with a kind of a pilot study. Let's just see how it goes. If it doesn't work, we won't do it. How many people participated in the first one?
It looks like it was 10.
10 people, and they wanted to see whether scuba diving helped them besides her. That must have been very exciting to be the first ones in that.
Right. Could you imagine, you know, later on to be able to say, I was in that pilot study and I was one of the first successful patients to go through the scuba diving therapy.
Right. And just the fact that they could move was so exciting for them. And what happened then? It says down here in line 23 and 24, what happened?
Well, at first, many showed temporary improvement in some areas, such as stiffness or sensitivity to some light touches.
Mm-hmm.
But then the upturn continued for several days.
Okay. So that's good. It started out with just a little bit of improvement. Now, if you are paralyzed and you have a little improvement, I think that would be very encouraging.
Absolutely. And, you know, just like Jack was mentioning, they're having that tight kind of muscles and stiffness that they're slowly seeing improve. And the word here, of course, is upturn. You know, an upturn is just any improvement or a change to a higher level or value. So we think of, you know, an upturn in productivity when we turn our phones off.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some big words here, like it talks here in line 23 and 24 and stuff about the spasticity or stiffness and sensitivity to light touches. So they could feel it wasn't quite as stiff, and they could feel something. And so that was encouraging. Before, they couldn't feel anything.
Right. Spasticity is a very serious problem for those that are experiencing skeletal movement mm-hmm. issues, where the body is just not responding to the mind's signals
to move.
They're
just stiff. It wasn't move. Yeah.
Right. It's stiff, tight, very painful.
Mm-hmm.
And so being in the water seems to help alleviate some of those symptoms.
And the kind of experience when they are able to suddenly feel light touches on their body, this is just incredible to me, because if their spine has been damaged and obviously their nerves can't feel anything anymore, apparently the pressure underwater is somehow changing their body and affecting it. It says the influx of nitrogen into their blood and their body tissues is somehow affecting their nerves, that they're able to feel again.
That's right. It says here in line 29 that it results in what they call an influx of, which is just meaning things that, you know, more and more happens, of nitrogen into their blood and their body tissues. So there's all of a sudden there's some blood moving there in the tissues, and they could just feel that. That's exciting.
Right. So there's something really deep going on that they're trying to understand. And one of that is just that influx, the arrival of a large number of things all at the same time. And apparently that's nitrogen in this case.
So that must have been an exciting discovery for this group that just did a pilot study that does work. And that's why they started to do the whole program.
That's right. They started to see some positive results and an upturn in patients' conditions.
Well, the next paragraph tells us a little bit about what some of these changes are. It's a little bit technical, but let's read the last paragraph now.
That may create a cascade of intracellular changes that facilitate the production of neurotransmitters impacting the spinal cord, she said. It's a very good theory, and we hope someday to test it in a clinical trial. For Tylina, it felt great to just be back in the pool. She wrapped her arms around her father and briefly lay her head on Dennis Fisher's chest. Then she turned to Monson and indicated she was ready to swim the length of the pool. Okay, Monson said. Here we go.
Well, it's a bit technical.
Right. As we're reading through specifically what's going on with the influx of nitrogen and how that's affecting the body, we learn that there's this cascade of what they call intercellular changes. So there's this whole, you could imagine just wave after wave of changes that are happening in the body, specifically the nervous system, brain, spinal cord, your nerves. And what these changes do is they facilitate the production of what they call neurotransmitters, just the signals that are in your brain, chemical, that impact the spinal cord. It's very technical, but basically there are positive changes happening in the nervous system that gets it working again, which I think is the main point.
Right. Well, when something facilitates something, it means that it helps it to happen. Now, everybody has what we have, neurotransmitters. When we've studied before about the brain and about people that get Alzheimer's, what happens is all of the knowledge is still in their brain. It's not gone. But the neurotransmitters are the little transmitters that send the messages back and forth. They get a little plaque on them, and they pretty soon they're not working. So the neurotransmitters is just kind of like if you have a machine that can send out signals to somebody like a radio, you need to have the transmitter. And this is something that happens in your brain. So these neurotransmitters are also working on the spinal cord. It comes from the brain, but they're a very important part of our body. When they're not working, then we lose our memory and everything.
Right. It's very complex. And admittedly, they say that may create a cascade. And so what they admit is it's a very good theory, just an idea, and they think it's the right answer, but maybe they're not quite sure yet.
Right. So this is kind of technical. But, you know, for Talina, this girl, it was good for her not to even think about all the technology, but just to be back in the pool. And what did she do?
She wrapped her arms around her father and lay her head on his chest. Then she was ready to go. She turned to the instructor and she wanted to get swimming.
She wanted to swim the length of the pool. And she's paralyzed. Isn't that amazing?
It really is. And so it shows a lot of hope for this pilot study. And, you know, just in the paragraph above, you know, it says that they hope someday to test it in a clinical trial, something even bigger with more patients and more people being impacted by this kind of therapy.
I like this picture that we have on page 21. What does it say about that?
That's right. So the picture at the top there, you see three people, and we see Tylina, who has her scuba equipment on, and says, 12-year-old Tylina Fisher floats after she is lowered into the pool with the help of her father, Dennis Fisher, who's in the front, and the instructor, Bill Monsem, who's on the right.
Right. So you notice that he has air on his back. Now, that's what you carry your air. The father's just kind of helping her get in the pool. But the instructor's probably going to go down with her, though.
Right, so it looks like the two of them will go down, and
right.
Dennis Fisher is a good, emotionally supportive father. That's what I see here.
Right, isn't that exciting? That's really exciting. What does it say about multiplication there?
Right, so we have a sidebar today, and it says, part of UNSER's project involves training physical and occupational therapists as certified scuba divers so they can develop these skills in their patients. Eventually, she hopes to raise enough money to take groups of patients and therapists on week-long scuba diving trips to locations such as the Cayman Islands or Cozumel.
Wouldn't that be something? Now, those are places, if you look them up, the Cayman Islands, and those are part down in the southern part of by Florida in that area. But, you know, in the area out here in Taiwan and the Philippines, and there's so many places that go scuba diving. They need to have it in Asia, too.
That's right. This definitely, I think, needs to make its way to Asia.
It does, because there's so many people that could use that. Here you see crippled kids and people, and I think we should get the whole thing started out here soon, right?
Maybe that's our next project.
Well, we'll try to inspire some of the doctors listening, and maybe they can do that too. But you know that the doctors first have to become certified as scuba divers. They can't just tell the patient, go down there. They have to go down with the patient in the water.
Right. So Cody Unser is kind of doing something special, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's something that's just wonderful about this trial, perhaps the clinical trial, is that it's really a very safe trial.
Mm-hmm.
And once these therapists have been trained as scuba divers, then the patients who participate it can know that they're in good hands, that it's a very safe thing that they can try, and they can take it step at a time.
I think one other thing I really like about this idea that Cody Unser has is that it's taking people to unique, exotic locations that if I were paralyzed and in a wheelchair, I would never expect in a million years that I would get to go to the Cayman Islands.
Now,
right?
If you were on an airplane and then these people were wheeled on in wheelchairs, say, where are they going? Oh, they're going scuba diving. You'd probably just laugh.
I don't know if I would
are
maybe
you sure?
be very surprised.
Maybe a little confused.
But that's what can happen.
Yeah.
And they get to go down to these places on the beach and they get to do that. It gives them a whole new life, doesn't it?
Right, and just like we were talking about yesterday, remaining active is the fountain of youth, right? And so having this adventure, things to look forward to, and to say, I can do this.
Right. Well, and even if you're not paralyzed, maybe a lot of you now will become scuba divers. I know that Jack and Joe, you're ready.
We are ready, and we're going to get some wetsuits and start to get the classes.
Get your training right. But it's been a great article to find out hope for these people, and I think it's wonderful that people are helping to sponsor this, and I hope we see this all over the world, and Asia is another good place to have a good setup for it, don't you think?
Absolutely. And if you're interested in learning more about Cody's story, we have the website below, codysfirststep.org, and you can learn about all the interesting projects that she's doing.
So follow it up yourself, right? And thanks for being with us, Jack. I hope you enjoyed your time there in advance.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Come back again, won't you?
I will.
And the rest of you, we expect to see you every day right here on Advance. So have a good day today, wherever you are. Goodbye.
Bye.